country. It's time to dance.
Buckins for three. Got it.
From Shanahan again. She scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in to Catamount Insider, episode 3 of the 2024-2025 season. We've got a really exciting show for you with two interviews focused on the soccer teams this week. We talk with associate head coach of the women's soccer team, Mike Skelton, who talks about the team's style of play and the changes that he's tried to help implement over his four-year tenure here in Vermont. We talk all about his career, what this team's strengths are, where he's still trying to see this team improve, and we talk about a couple of the standout performers on a women's soccer team that are coming off a big win against UAlbany. We talked with Mike prior to the game against the Great Danes, so you'll get a fun kind of before and after look at what he was looking at with UAlbany, where he felt that match could go, and then the Catamounts ended up executing quite excellently. They struck early with Jill Brody putting the team in front, and then Bailey Ayer, the conference's leading scorer, scored her 10th and 11th goals of the season. So a 3-0 shutout win for the women's soccer team on Thursday. Then I sit down with Zach Barrett, fifth-year senior captain of the men's soccer team. He's been starting on this team for so long now. I really wanted to talk with Zach all about this year's team specifically. So he gives us a good breakdown on the growth and development of this team and how they've had to overcome some injuries. He details that side of the story for us and previews the game that's coming up later today if you're listening with us live. 4:30 start time against Bryant. I hope you'll be able to catch that one over on ESPN Plus as Zach Barrett and the Catamounts try to keep their unbeaten run going. They've lost just once, and that came back in the season opener to Western Michigan. So a really big showdown between two of the top teams in the America East later this afternoon. I won't take up any more of your time. We're going to get right to our interview with Mike Skelton. You're listening to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. Welcome back to Catamount Insider. I'm now thrilled to be joined by associate head coach of the women's soccer team, Mike Skelton. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Excited to talk about the season. We're talking ahead of tonight's matchup with UAlbany, and then you guys have senior day later this weekend on Sunday. So in the thick of conference play, maybe even you could call it the home stretch of conference play. Is that feel like it's gone fast for you looking back on the season now? Has it felt like things have flown along here? Is it kind of like, all right, let's play these big games, and it's exciting that you're in the time of the year that really matters?
I think it's two ways. I think when the season's going, it seems like it's lasting forever, but then you get here and you're like, dang, we're at the last three games, and we got three more to go, and then hopefully a couple more. But definitely it's nice to be playing meaningful soccer and to get to the point where everything matters, every play matters, every possession matters, every shot matters, and it just makes it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. This season has obviously had some really exciting moments and some outstanding plays from your group, and there have been some downs as well. How would you assess a year where you've got a really good record and you're right in the thick of a loaded America East division?
Yeah, I think we've had a pretty good season up until this point. I think there's some games and some moments that haven't really gone our way, but I think we've had some really good bounce back moments as well. And I think coming off of Sunday, Lowell played really well. And when we rewatched the film, we played well as well, but we didn't get to execute everything that we wanted to do. And so we're hoping for another one of those bounce back moments tonight.
It's UAlbany tonight. What's your feeling about a Great Dane squad that it looks kind of different from last year? They've got some similar pieces, but a lot of new faces. A team that you guys beat 3-0 a year ago. But in this conference, it just feels like any night it has been kind of anybody's game. How do you approach these league games knowing you have only three chances left in the regular season?
Yeah, I think every single game is the most important game of the season when you're playing it. But I think we look around at what everyone else is doing, and you kind of get a sense of like a game might go this way, might go that way. But I think in the America East, as opposed to other places that I've been, you don't really know on any given night. If you don't show up and they do, then you could be in trouble. And if you show up and they don't, then it could be a good night for you. If you both show up, then you're in for a fight. And so we're looking to compete with Albany tonight.
Yeah. I want to go backwards in time then with you. You mentioned it. Previously, you were at Niagara University. What brought you to Vermont? I mean, you've been a lot of places in your career, both playing and coaching. What, 4 years ago now, what made you to lead to this decision to come here to Burlington?
So I'm from New Hampshire originally, and so I always wanted to be back in New England. And UVM was kind of one of the jobs that I had targeted when I was looking to get back into New England. And so when the job became available, I'm sure I was probably one of the first people to reach out to Christy. But I'm excited to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be not home, but closer to home. And it's a great place to live, and it's very familiar to where I grew up. And so it's kind of the ideal situation for me.
Your first year on staff, the team goes and wins an America East title. What was that like? You come into the program, and it was obviously a group with a lot of veteran players on that team. But first year with the team, they go out and win you a ring. That had to be pretty fun to experience.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I think I came, like, right into the perfect storm. I think there was some things coaching-wise that I was hoping to change with the group I was with, and then I came here, and they were already making those changes to what I was hoping to do where I was previously. And so I just kind of walked into a really great situation. And then obviously we had a lot of veteran leadership, a lot of players that had a lot of experience. And then we had some young players that came in that were fresh and energized the group. And I think once that group always had the skill level and the talent to be at the top of the America East. And once things start clicking, we got on that roll and we just never stopped.
What were some of the things that you really wanted to implement and some of the ways that you tried to come in and, I guess, put your fingerprints on some things?
I think just a little bit of formation, a little bit style of play. I think I would like to think that we're coaching in a way that's, like, aesthetically pleasing and fun to play. I think the players enjoy being here and they enjoy playing for us and they enjoy the brand of soccer we play. I think from a viewer perspective, it's pretty fun soccer to watch, or I think it is anyways.
I think so. I would agree. Yeah.
But I think just creating an environment that's fun, creating an environment that the players enjoy, and I think it kind of shows a little bit too when you look at how big the transfer portal's been, is that all our players tend to stay here. We don't really lose anybody because they enjoy playing here. They enjoy the soccer that we do. They enjoy the culture. They enjoy the school, and that's just kind of the situation that we're trying to build.
Coming off, I mean, you're year one with the program, you win the title. Were there then some expectations that, I mean, you're thinking I'm one for one with this team going to years two and year three? You guys have had other successful years, 10 wins last year as well, but were there some expectations that you put on yourself following a year one championship with this team?
Yeah, I think everyone, every coach, like, does their work. They bring in the players that they want to bring in, and you think that you always expect the best out of your group and out of yourself. I think the expectations, every year I've been here, I've had really high expectations for our group. I think we had that one year where things didn't really go our way, but if you do, like, a deep dive statistically, we were still a very, very good team, and we had maybe a little bit of losing 11 players, losing 11 seniors or fifth years, just a little bit of growing pains getting back to where we want to be. And then I feel like last year was a good step of getting back to where we want to be, and I feel like this year we're kind of right in the thick of things, and the next three games is gonna make the difference on how we end and how I feel about it. But I feel like we're in a pretty good spot where we want to be.
This year you promoted to associate head coach. Any changes with the title change? Are your role and responsibilities similar, the same? Do you have new things that have been put on your plate this year?
I think mostly the same. I think when I got in, I think Christy and I had a pretty good working relationship pretty quickly. I think sometimes there's maybe a little bit more weight in my opinions, but I think at the end of the day, I know that, like, it's all on Christy. We talk together all the time, and having Mac and having Joey this year, like, the four of us work really well together, and we all have a voice and we all say what we think. But at the end of the day, Christy makes a choice, and we all back her. But but I think it's a good group to be a part of. It's a good place to work. It's a good environment to work in. We definitely I enjoy working with Christy, Mac, and Joey, and I enjoy working with the players that we work with. But the responsibilities I don't think have changed too much. Sure. Yeah.
To start the season, Bailey Air comes out on a complete tear, scoring, it felt like, goals every game or every time she touched the ball, and still to this day something dangerous happens when she's on the ball. But what was that like to see a player so in form just right out of the gates and doing so much production for your group?
Yeah, I think it was pretty fun to watch. I think Christy has had talks with Bailey, and I've had talks with Bailey for the past couple of years of like how much of an impact she can have when she decides that she wants to be on, and like picking and choosing your moments. You can't pick and choose your moments. Like, you need to be like this all the time. And I think as the years have gone, like, her consistency level has gotten stronger and stronger, which you obviously see the output of. Last year she had a fantastic year, and then this year I think like she obviously started very strong and has continued very strong throughout the whole year. But the getting like the tangible end results of seeing the goals and seeing the assists is pretty awesome for her. And again, like, not something that is super unexpected from us, because we see the work that she puts in every day. Yeah. We see the work she puts in the off season, and it's just kind of a culmination of her attitude on a daily basis for the 4 years that she's been here.
She and Kate Bossert obviously formed this pretty dynamic duo, but Sydney Remington's a big part in that midfield as well. What makes kind of that group in particular such a prolific attacking portion of your team, and really a group that leads the league in the goals that they're able to contribute on?
Yeah, I think obviously, like, you look statistically that Bailey and Boss are getting like the majority of the goals, but I think part of the problem is that we have so many players that are dangerous in different ways. Mm. Like, if you spend all your time focusing on Bailey, then maybe Boss is going to bite you. You spend your time focusing on Boss and Bailey, then it could be Jill. It could be Lauren. It could be Sydney. It could be Emma. We're fortunate that I feel like we're pretty deep all over the field, but definitely in terms of people that can contribute into the attack. We have a lot of different players that cause a lot of different problems, and it's not like, we don't have like a like for like replacement, and so it's not like you sub someone out and the defenders just get to deal with the same old, same old. It's mm-hmm. a completely different problem that they have to adjust to. And I think the depth and the different problems that we present make it easier for our best players to be our best players, because they're not the focal point 100% of the time, because there are other players that can become a problem.
An area of the field where you guys and your depth has been really tested this year has been that midfield. Lainey Ross, after playing that first game of the year, hasn't been available for your group. Jaslyn Oviedo had to miss some time. How have you tried to just manage a lot of shuffling, as even more players than that I just mentioned have had to miss a few games? What's it been like just trying to deal with a really kind of rotating cast throughout the midfield over the course of the season?
Yeah, obviously you want everyone to be healthy, and then you have like selection problems. But I think the players that have come in and gotten a lot of minutes have shown and proved that they're able to contribute with more minutes in different ways. And shuffling the holding midfield spot has definitely been a little bit of a challenge this year. But I think everyone that's played through there has stepped up to the plate. And we've had some players that are holding midfielders playing the holding midfield. We've had some players that aren't holding midfielders playing the holding midfield. And whoever's day it is, whoever's moment it is that gets called to the task, they're up to it. They contribute what they can. And I think it hasn't been like, if you ask me what the picture perfect scenario was at the beginning of the season, this wouldn't have been it.
Yeah.
But I think everyone has done a good job making up for injuries for Lainey, but for everyone else, whenever anyone else is missing, we're pretty deep that we feel pretty comfortable with the next person stepping in.
Sure.
Amelia Auditore, one of those players who's really stepped up in that role. I want to ask you about the two freshmen, though. Farah Yacoub and Ella Hall both have seen substantial minutes, and Farah has been now starting the last few games in that holding midfield spot. Just how important have those two freshmen been in stepping into that role when, I doubt, at the beginning of the year, and you were asked what your plan A would be, I doubt that they were maybe seeing this many minutes. It's been pretty impressive to see those two first years play that big of a role.
Yeah, I think our freshman, our first year group is very, very strong. Yeah. I think Farah and Ella have definitely gotten quite a bit of minutes at different points this year. I think we're hoping, like, if everyone stays healthy, that we'd be able to work our first years in and get them experience, like, in doses. And then as they get adjusted and earn it, like, start ramping them up. But then, like, injuries happen, yeah, and that goes out the window, and all of a sudden you have to be playing 60, 70 minutes because we only have three holding midfielders. Or Ella isn't naturally a holding midfielder. She's one of the ones that's kind of shuffled through there. And she's done a great job. They've both done a great job, coming in, looking for extra film, looking to go through the position and what they need to be doing on and off the ball. That's something about the first year class that I think there's been a lot of players that are in the office pretty frequently, like, trying to learn what we do differently as opposed to what they were doing growing up and how they fit in. And then sometimes it's talking about, like, different players on the team and how to work with those specific players as opposed to this player, because, like we said, every person on our team poses a different problem and they like to play a different style. And so just getting to understand your teammates a little bit better so that they can be more effective. But I think the whole first year class in general has come in as a really strong group, and contributed a lot. And I love seeing them out at extra sessions all the time, looking for extra work and looking for ways to get better. But I think, yeah, Ella and Farah definitely got a lot of minutes, a lot of important minutes, and definitely got us through a long stretch of not having many holding midfielders.
A year ago, Emma Warren was one of those freshmen that you were going to and able to kind of ease along and find minutes throughout the season. This year, she's been a workhorse for you as a winger. What's that like to see Emma step into such a large role and become really one of the players you've relied on most?
Yeah, I think Emma, we had planned it initially that she would have played a little more last year, but she came in with a broken foot. And so she didn't really get minutes till halfway through the season. At that point, we had already kind of gotten into rhythm. But she was a player that we brought in that we knew was going to be a pretty big impact player. I'm not sure you always think and project, but you don't know exactly how it's going to go. But I don't think that we projected that she was going to have, like, this big of an impact immediately, where we're fine running her 70, 80, 90 minutes a game if we need to. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of a testament to the work that she's put in. It's been nice having, she's very solid and consistent. She doesn't have very many off days, and mm-hmm. she shows up to training, puts in a good shift, and it's hard to find holes in what she's doing. Not that we're looking for holes in what she's doing, but she's definitely done all the things she can to put herself in a position to be earning a lot of minutes, and it's good to see that she's done that and that she's getting them and that she's running with it, and she's doing very well and she's having a good season.
I want to just ask you about a game that I know I'm sure is still frustrating. The Maine game here at home, you guys have the lead and you're unable to hold it, and Maine, who are the preseason favorites, come from behind and win. How did you try to bounce back from that game? What was the messaging trying to get the team to move on from obviously a result that was less than what you were hoping for?
Yeah, I think obviously it wasn't what we were hoping for, but I think it's a little bit of a learning experience. In terms of, like, this is the conference, the game's not over until the game's over. We had a little talk about closing out games, being in a winning position. But I think it's more the experience of having been in that spot and not done what we can to finish it out is going to be helpful for us moving forward when we're up late in a game. And what's our mentality? What's our shift? How are we playing? What decisions are we making? It was definitely tough. I think we had an okay bounce back week, but that led right into UNH, which was another frustrating game. But I think after the UNH game being 0-2, I think we had a good follow up week where we went, I think we played two games that week, mm-hmm. and we went 2-0, and so we were able to bounce back. But I think getting the bad ones out of the way, where Maine's a really good team, But we showed that we can compete at that level, that we can be the upper team at that level. And so proving to ourselves that we can be there, but then learning some harsh lessons about closing out games, I think both things were valuable. I don't think anyone walked away from that game and was like, we can't compete with the best in the America East. I think we felt like we could and that we belong there. And so that's helpful moving forward. But also the other end of it, that's also helpful moving forward because it's just a little bit more experience for the group.
Sure. Three games remaining in the regular season, wrapping up with this, just what is the focus for you? What are the things that you feel the team needs to do well to close out this regular season where every point just feels so vital?
Yeah, I think the last three games, I think just taking them one at a time. Tonight is the most important game of the season. And you ask me tomorrow morning, it's going to be the next one. But I think taking it one game at a time, doing the things that we want to do, like our identity as a team, bringing that out every single game. I think when we play the brand of soccer that we want to play, we're a handful for anybody. And I just think competing hard every single play, every single minute, that not getting outworked. I think we have the talent to be as good or be better than anyone left on our schedule. But I think what it comes down to is like what's the effort going to look like? How hard are you willing to work? Are you going to get stuck in on challenges? Are you going to go up for headers? Are you going to go to ground and make that tackle? Are you going to make that extra recovery sprint back, even though the ball might not come there? But just all those little things. Are we able to do all the little things? And those are going to add up into, if we do those things, hopefully it adds up into us being where we want to be.
Well, Coach, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining Catamount Insider this week. Good luck tonight. Good luck the rest of the year. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks again to Coach Skelton for joining Catamount Insider this week. His insight really, I thought, was pretty interesting going into the UAlbany game. Now I can tell you that the Catamounts did take it to UAlbany and won 3-0. Bailey Ayer got two more goals. Sydney Remington, a couple of assists. Jill Brody scored. That potency in attack that Coach talked about throughout that interview really shining through against the Great Danes. And the Catamounts get three more big points in America East play. So they now sit at 9 points right in the mix of the America East race. And so they are in a good spot with two games remaining against both Binghamton and Bryant. Thanks again to Coach Skelton. We're going to take a timeout when we return. It's the fifth-year senior captain on the men's soccer team. Zach Barrett shed some light on the UVM side of things for the men's soccer team when we return. Right after this on Catamount Insider. Welcome back to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. I'm joined by graduate student defender on the men's soccer team, Zach Barrett. Zach, thanks so much for joining the show this week. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Big matchup this weekend against Bryant. That, as this airs on Saturday, is going to be coming up later this afternoon. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You're coming off an excellent week individually. And the team comes off three consecutive wins. I want to just start with the win against NJIT, a team that got the better of you guys last year, and I know that's been a real battle in the past. So what went into this win, and you guys find another way to find a couple of late goals and come away with three big points?
Yeah, obviously we have a pretty rich history with NJIT. Since they came into the conference, we've played them the most. I think we've played them like 10 times or something throughout the regular season in the playoffs. And for the start of it, you know, we kind of had their number. They hadn't beaten us, but then last year they beat us twice. And just throughout the week, our preparation was just kind of paying them back, I would say. They kind of had us, and they had a good plan going into the game of just sitting low, trying to get us on the counter. But we worked on that all week, and we didn't score. We scored on two set pieces, which is always nice. I got one and Max got one, so that was good to get on the score sheet this year. I think the team's preparation was really good. We kind of stayed in our system. We weren't getting too panicked when it got down to like the end of the game and we hadn't scored yet. We knew that like our system was gonna prevail and we would get a goal eventually. Yeah.
That goal, like you said, your first of the season. So just how sweet does that feel? And then you double that with it does give your team the lead late.
Yeah, obviously, the only way I really score is off of set pieces. But, you know, it's always kind of that thing for me where once I get the first one on the year, then they kind of start to come. But just getting that first one feels really nice. And hopefully I can keep scoring and providing for the team.
You have scored big goals throughout your career. I want to ask you about, like you said, those set pieces. It's where you found almost all the goals throughout your career. You guys have such a big team this year. There's so much size and, in theory, then targets to put the ball into. What are you guys trying to accomplish just in general with those, and how are you kind of approaching what you see on those plays?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we have a pretty big team with Max and me and Yaniv and David, all guys over like 6 feet tall. And that's kind of special, especially in the environment that college soccer is in today. So we just try and get the ball in the box in dangerous positions and let our guys go to work, I would say. Like, just anywhere that our guy can win a ball, just get it on frame, get it back across the goal, and then our other guys will get it in, just like how we kind of scored the first one. Sydney hit it in, Max flicked it on, and then I was just right there to tap it in. But, yeah, I'd say it's a really, really big advantage for us, especially on offensive set pieces and something that we try to exploit.
Yeah. Is it an advantage elsewhere in the field having that much size? Because, I mean, sometimes I just look out there and it's like, feels like you're just kind of towering over other teams. That has to kind of give maybe even a mental edge at some points, I would think.
Yeah, it is definitely a mental thing. You know, the pregame handshakes, the teams walk down and we just like give them fist bumps and just kind of look down on them. But it is definitely an advantage, especially in the back with, you know, me, Max, and Mike. We're pretty big back line, I would say, and we win a lot of 50-50 balls back there. But somewhere it really helps us is up top with Yaniv. Yaniv is a pretty big, powerful striker. So we always have that kind of outlet where if we're, like, under pressure or something, we always know we can just clip the ball up there, and he has a really good shot of winning it and keeping possession for us. So, yeah, that's where I would say the advantages are.
Tell me about the development of this back line this year, because it kind of started where Max was playing still striker a little bit. You and Bleeker were working together, and then you've kind of formed this back four that looks like a back three at times. How has that changed and evolved over the course of the year?
Yeah, you know, the first couple games, we didn't really know what kind of system we were playing. We were playing like a 4-4-2, a 4-4-1-3-2 kind of, with me and Mike playing center back and Nick playing left back. And then obviously Nick went down with his injury. So we were trying to figure out what to do. Max stepped in the San Diego State game, I think, and he played really well that game. And we kept a clean sheet. And then Mike Bleeker went down with his ankle injury that game too. You know, injuries have just like kind of thrown a wrench in the plans that the coaches have had, I would say. But then Mike came back, kind of stepped into that left back role. It's not so much of a left back role. It's like a left center back, and then we push on the right side. But, you know, I think it's gelled really well lately. We've played like three or four games now together, all three of us back there, and kept a few clean sheets. So I think it's working really well right now.
Yeah. Max has kind of centered that when it looks like a back three, he's in the middle of you and Mike. How has his game kind of evolved over this season? Because this is a guy who's played all over the field. You two have played together for a long time, but not always kind of in this partnership. What's it been like as you two kind of build and develop a relationship, even though you guys know each other so well?
Yeah, and Max has played everywhere. He's played like striker, center mid, center back a couple games. And he's a really versatile player, I would say. Just his awareness of the game helps him in that sense. But, you know, me and Max, we're best friends. We've lived together for, like, 5 years. Yeah. So we have that kind of that chemistry already developed. But playing together and, like, side by side is something that's been new for us this year. I would say there was a little bit of growing pains at the beginning, but, I mean, we know each other so well that we kind of just figured that out. And now he knows, like, when to play me the ball, when to just hit it long. Like, our communication is pretty good, I would say.
Is that the biggest key for when you're working with a center back or anybody along the back line? You've obviously played with some great ones over your career here. What are those things that you guys are communicating about? And because it appears to me like you guys can really control the game when everything's kind of in flow and in rhythm back along that line.
Yeah, I would say most of our communication comes when we don't have the ball. Trying to just like talk to our midfielders and talk to each other about where their like most dangerous attacking players are and anywhere that we can see a potential threat coming from. So if like a guy's running across Max and is running onto like my shoulder that I can't see, like Max will just give me a shout that he's right there. Or like there's somebody running in behind that I have to track and it's just a little bit too far for Max to get, is something that, that we communicate about a lot. But then when we have the ball, it's more of those like nonverbal cues, I would say, of just like, hey, like I'm here, like give me the ball. Or like he sees a guy that's like getting ready to press me if he plays me the ball. So he'll just like recycle it and play it the other way. But yeah, those are our most communication.
You've also had kind of a changing the net the last few games. Nicholas Hirsig, another big body on, in your group. He's more there for the defensive side of things. But what's that been like kind of integrating him into things as he's in his first year at the college level, but clearly is a talented keeper back there? How have you guys tried to make sure his life is easy behind you?
Yeah, Nicholas is obviously very, very big. He's like 6'6". He helps us a lot on claiming like services and direct balls from them. But I think his first year in college, we've just been trying to get him going. Like as we know what the college game is like, he necessarily hasn't known that yet. But as he gets more experience, he's learning a lot, and he's growing really quickly, I would say. But we're just trying to help him like keep communicating because he sees the whole field. Like we see a lot, but he sees even more because he's behind us. So just staying in our ear about like stuff that's happening throughout the game is something that we've been working on.
Yeah. You mentioned kind of all the injuries, and it feels like guys have just gone down at different times and people have been in and out of the lineups. What have your conversations been like with the coaches? As you are somebody who's played so much soccer with Rob specifically, what's that been like trying to just collaborate and figure out how are we going to get through this with whether it is Adu who's missed so much time or then Nick goes down? What's those things been like as you try to just get through this season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have missed quite a few guys this season so far. But this honestly is one of the deepest teams that we've had in recent times, or since I've been here at least. There's a lot of good talent that doesn't necessarily start on our team. And that's just kind of been the narrative around these injuries. It's just like it's the next guy up. And we have faith as like a team, as coaches, that like the guys on our bench are prepared to step in and play those minutes. Like Connor Thompson and Nash Barlow and a bunch of other guys have just like stepped in and kind of just fit right in seamlessly, I would say. They've been here. Nash has been here for 2 years. CT's been here for 4 years now. So they know the system, and they know what Vermont soccer is and what it takes to win. But yeah, they've done a really, really good job, I would say.
I wanted to ask you about CT, Connor Thompson specifically. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. You've watched him throughout your career. And now he is in the biggest role of his time here. What's that like for you to see a teammate who's had to go through so much now really providing a real spark?
Yeah, I mean, CT is a very, very good player. He's gotten a bit unfortunate throughout his career with injuries, I would say. Right. He's had some two really big injuries and two massive surgeries that could derail anybody's career. But he's very mentally strong, and I would say that's what has kept him in it throughout his time here. But yeah, just seeing him providing us with anything is definitely a bonus, and providing us with the type of player that he is really helps us a lot. Whether he's starting or coming off the bench, anytime he's on the field, I think he makes an impact defensively and offensively. But yeah, he's definitely helped us a lot.
How much of a focus is it when you guys are playing the ball on the back line? Your eyes always seem to find Sydney, and the ball always seems to end up, how can we get him in isolation? Just, he's such a special player, obviously, creatively, and what he's able to provide going forward. When are you kind of looking for him, and how are you guys trying to find different ways to get him the ball?
Yeah, Sydney is a very, very talented player. He's a really direct runner. He likes to take guys one-on-one. And that's honestly the situations we're trying to find him in. When we see that he's wide and there's one guy out there with him, we want to get him the ball and have him run at their outside back. Because I honestly don't think there's an outside back in the country that can stay with Sid for 90 minutes. Yeah. But teams have started to scout that, obviously. And they send two guys out there, try to take away his right foot and make him go down the line on his left, which honestly is fine. He's very competent on his left foot too. So that's fine if they want to give him that. But yeah, we're trying to find him the ball when he's one-on-one. And when it comes from me, it's like either a long diagonal because he plays on the opposite side, or if it switches around to Bleeker, then just rolling him the ball and letting him go to work.
Okay, let's kind of zoom out now. Big picture. You guys start the season ranked. You drop that first game to Western Michigan. You've been unranked since then. And I know that that ranking doesn't necessarily matter like the RPI does. But does it feel good to get back in the polls this week to see a number 20? Is there something satisfying about the work you guys have put in to get back to that spot?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit satisfying. Obviously, we didn't start the season how we wanted to. But it is satisfying to know that our work has kind of been rewarded a little bit. It's not kind of what we focus on, I would say. But it is we've been on like a pretty good unbeaten streak. But obviously we want to keep climbing, and we don't want to be satisfied with where we're at right now. And then adding on to that, I would say like something we've focused on is not looking too far into the future. Like obviously we have goals and stuff about winning championships and NCAA tournament championships. But something that we've said is like, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, and you just like, you keep focusing on the day in front of you. You don't even focus on the game of the weekend. Like today we're focusing on the practice that we have today, and then tomorrow we'll focus on the game we have tomorrow, and then like therefore.
So let's talk Bryant then a little bit, a team that's still relatively new to the conference in your tenure here. Last year they were known as one of the best defensive teams in the country. This year statistically something similar. What's it been like this week in practice as you prepare for a group that are so fundamentally sound on that side of the ball?
Yeah, they are definitely a very good defensive team. They don't give up a lot of goals, which is something that we have been focusing on a lot, kind of our attacking patterns and how we think that they're going to line up and what we can exploit out of their defense. And then obviously set pieces. In the America East, I think Rob said the other day, since his entire career here, 50%, 60% of games in America East games have been won off of set pieces. So I think that obviously we scored two set pieces last week. We're definitely focusing in on that a lot. But then also how we're generating chances from the run of play with like guys like Sid and Yaniv and Miller and CT and Marcel and guys like that, how we can get them in positions to score goals.
You've been around this conference for a long time. You've been around just college soccer for a long time. Does it feel weird that some of the, I thought specifically it was unique in the UNH game, some of those old rivals for New Hampshire aren't there anymore. It's a brand new starting 11 for them. Do you ever just kind of look around and feel like, huh, this is weird that a lot of those guys have been playing against for a while aren't at those teams anymore?
Yeah, it's definitely weird. I've kind of seen like a change of the guard, I would say. And I've seen it here too. Like guys like me and Max have been here for 5 years and that's it really. And then we see guys at other schools from UNH and like Albany and Binghamton and stuff like that. Guys that say guys on their team that produced a lot for them are just kind of gone now. But it's been cool to see other guys step up on our team too. And just kind of like fill those roles, but definitely a little bit weird to see a little bit of a different team when I'm playing in the conference. Yeah.
So just to wrap up then, I know there's, you said it, big goals looking forward. You're focused on the day-by-day things, but do you feel like this team's in a good spot right now? Do you feel like you're in a place where if you would have said back in August, flash forward, you tell Zach Barrett this is where the team's at, would you feel pretty confident going forward with the rest of the season?
Yeah, I definitely feel confident. I mean, we are in a good spot right now. We're not necessarily right where we want to be, I would say. We always want to be a little bit higher. But we are in a good spot. I'd say based on what we have on our team and what we know we're capable of, we're completely fine right now. I mean, we're not too stressed about anything in the future. We are really just focusing on what's in front of us right now.
He's Zach Barrett. Catamounts are taking on Bryant on Saturday. That's today. If you're listening live at 4:30, you can check out the action on ESPN Plus. Zach, thanks so much for joining Catamount Insider this week. Great to hear all about the year, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me. Go Cats.
Thanks again to Zach for joining Catamount Insider this week. He was great to sit down on, and he's got great perspective. Like we kind of touched on at the end, he's been here for 5 years. He's played over 70 college soccer games at this point. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to this conference, and I'm really interested to watch the game against Bryant. Now, pay attention to those set pieces. Pay attention to how they try to break down a very patient and really strong defensive side in the Bulldogs. UVM, I would expect to have a lot of the ball. They'll have to defend Bryant's counters. But overall, I think the Catamounts feel really confident in their position in the America East standings and where they're at going forward. So thanks again to Zach for joining Catamount Insider this week. Make sure you check out that game coming up today at 4:30. We're going to take one final break today on Catamount Insider, wrapping up this week's show. When we return, this is Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt. We're back on Catamount Insider, wrapping up this week's show. Thanks again to our guests, Mike Skelton and Zach Barrett. I really thought that they both gave us good details on their teams this season, and Coach Skelton, the perspective over the years and how he's really worked with head coach Christy Huizenga to implement this system, and how he feels that this team and their ability to score make them so dangerous. They proved that just like he thought they would on Thursday. Next up, they will take on Binghamton, Senior Day, Sunday. So if you're listening with us live, that's tomorrow. If you're catching up with us on the podcast, that's Sunday the 20th. It's a noon start time for the Catamounts against Binghamton. And then Zach Barrett and the Catamounts on the men's soccer team taking on the Bryant Bulldogs. The best offense maybe in the league against the best defense should lead to a really interesting clash of styles. That game later today on Saturday at 4:30. Thanks everybody who tuned in with us this week. I thought it was a really fun episode. We're going to continue our Catamount Insider season next Saturday at the same time in the same place. We'll continue to talk all about soccer and field hockey and fall sports with swimming and diving. Cross country America East championships are coming up. We've got hockey seasons now in full swing, and basketball is right around the corner. Truly a jam-packed portion of the schedule around Burlington at this time of year. So I hope you're enjoying it. I hope to see you out at all of these events. I try to get to as many home games as I can. Don't hesitate to come say hello and introduce yourself. Or if you have to tune in with us, whether it's on the radio or on ESPN Plus, it will be great to have you along for the ride. Thanks everybody who tuned in on this Saturday morning, or if you caught us on your favorite podcast provider, we appreciate you tuning in as well. I'm your host, Brian McLaughlin. Talk to you next Saturday with Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt.